This is our worship service at Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, and we give to you a very warm word of welcome as you listen in and become part of this service today. I look around me and I still see the empty pews, but according to the government, there's good news. From the 29th of this month, churches can go back implementing safety measures. And so therefore, it's just today and next Lord's Day, which is Children's Day, that I have to look at the empty pews. God willing, from the 5th of July, that particular Sunday, we will have physical people in the building, and I look forward to that. We come to worship the Lord, we come to rejoice in Him, and we enter into His gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and as we do so, to give the Lord praise and thanksgiving, we sing together the paraphrase 60. Father of peace, and God of love, we owe thy power to save. Let's listen to this pre-recording from a past service. Pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Our psalm for today is the Psalm 19. Let us hear the word of God as we come to seek Him in prayer. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heart thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of this lovely psalm, the Psalm 19, to every heart. And may that be our prayer, that the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart this day in this place of worship, be acceptable in God's sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. From the 29th of June, churches can reopen for worship. That means the 2nd of July, as a Thursday night, we will, in the providence of God, return here for prayer. It's the prayer meeting night. This is a good opportunity to get back to the place of prayer, or to start, as you mean to go on, with God in prayer in this new, what can be viewed as a new term. And then on the Sabbath, the 5th of July, 2 weeks from today, in the will of God, we will have our first services here in the house of God. There'll be much more to say about that, of course, when the time comes around, as there will be a lot of measures that we have to put in place, a lot of regulations that we'll have to give to you that makes it safe here for the worship of Almighty God. As we come to pray, we are in thanksgiving today for God's grace, for his mercies towards us. We can count them one by one. Every one of us can rejoice in what God has done and what God is doing. We've learned of a dear man who came to put his faith and trust in Christ this very day. He's been troubled about his soul for a little while. We know that his son was sharing with him the daily videos, and that has added more concern to his heart. And his son got a call today to go and see him. He hasn't been well, and he was suffering much this morning. And the opportunity arose to speak about the things of God. And this young man had the joy of pointing his father to Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing on Father's Day. And you know, there's something very interesting about this, because the young man was converted to Christ 7 years ago on Father's Day. And now he's had the joy of pointing his own father to Christ. So Father's Day will never be the same again. How good is the God that we adore. And we pray for much more of this. We receive texts and communications every day about what the Lord is doing here and there. And we are sending out the videos every day, as you know. That will probably come to an end very soon, as it is time-consuming. It's been a real joy to do these things. But we've heard from India today. We've heard from Pakistan today and other parts today where the Word of God has gone out already on the video. If you're listening in from another country, you're not part of the United Kingdom, we bid you a very warm word of welcome. If you're listening in on Facebook, you have the opportunity just to say that you are joining us for this service on our Facebook site. It's good to see that, where you're listening in from. So we invite you to do that even now. But we're going to pray and seek the Lord together, worship God. We will have some slides to show later, as we have been doing this past number of Sundays. And tonight, we will be adding a couple more things. The session and committee have put together a Bible chain, and that's going to be done tonight. I'm going to air it tonight on sermon audio on Facebook, and then get it loaded up to Facebook for you to watch later as well. And also tonight, I have some slides that I want to show you from the land of Nepal. The second round of of emergency aid has gone to that land to help the poor and the needy. And just before I came into the service, I received from the Reverend Sapa some slides that I can share with you tonight. But let's pray and seek the Lord. Almighty God and gracious Father, we come before thy presence in worship. We seek to prepare our hearts even further for this service now in prayer, as we come to thee on the grounds of the blood of the Saviour, pleading the merit of Christ, pleading the name that is above every other name. We pray for your blessing to attend our fellowship time this morning. We thank thee for the words of the paraphrase. We thank thee for the reading of this psalm already. And it is our prayer that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, our Mediator. We praise thee for all that he came to do in the great covenant of grace. We thank thee that he bought us with his own precious blood, and in time he drew us irresistibly unto himself by the power and ministry of the Spirit. Thank thee for that day when the Spirit of God worked with mighty power. He had worked before. We had felt his dealings, his convicting work. We thank thee that he troubled us and brought us to that place of concern. But then there was that day when he worked effectually in our hearts, and we could not resist that grace, and we came. We came as sinners to Jesus, and we washed in his blood by faith, and our sins, which were many, were washed away. How we praise thee today that we have a standing with God. We're right in thy sight. We are fully accepted before God because of the work of Christ. And Lord, we cling to it. We have nothing else, Lord, that we cling to. There's nothing else that we would make our foundation. It is Jesus, thy blood, and thy righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. We have nothing else, Lord, that we could ever hope for as far as a safe eternity is concerned than the great work of redemption and all that Christ came to do on our behalf. Give us a love in our hearts for him. Deepen that love and affection for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come later to our study in Asa, Lord, we believe you have a message for us. May our hearts be warmed. May our souls be stirred. May we be set on fire for God in these days. We thank thee that the time is coming in your will, when we can meet in some fashion again publicly in the house of God, when we can have some of our congregation here to worship thee. We pray that thou wilt prepare the way, help the office bearers of the church to get ready for that day, to make it safe for our people. And Lord, we will give you the praise and the honor and the glory as we are able to return to the house of God and this answer to prayer is given. I want to thank thee for the man who professed faith this morning in Christ. What a joy it was to hear of this man repenting of his sin and laying hold upon Christ by faith. Thank thee for the joy that was in the heart of his son to be able to sit and lead his own father to Christ on Father's Day. Lord, we say to God be the glory, great things he hath done. We would want this to be multiplied over and over again. We think of family members who are still outside the fold. We pray for them. We pray that children will have the joy of pointing their fathers, their mothers to Christ. We pray that parents will have the joy in pointing their offspring, their sons and daughters to Christ. We pray that brothers and sisters will be a witness to each other. And Lord, speed the day when every family connected to our church here has household salvation. You know the members of our homes who are still strangers to your grace and need to be saved. Lord, may they be reached in these days. You have blessed over this difficult period of time when things have not been as they once were with COVID-19. We thank thee, Lord, for the many other opportunities that you've given to us to conduct a ministry. Many in our church that have been busy doing various things. Thank thee that the work has gone on in every department. And we praise thee for this mercy
Thank thee for the grace of God that is imparted to those who have listened to all the services from the children's work through to the Sabbath day services. Thank thee for blessing the Sunday school this morning. And we pray in these last couple of weeks for the Sunday school and the children's meetings before breaking off for the summer recess, that you will make those times really blessed and owned of God. We have our Children's Day next Lord's Day, and it will be done in similar fashion to this. It'll be done remotely. But we thank thee for children who have been able to come forward and take part. And we pray as it is broadcast that both of the services will be a real blessing. Thank thee for our sister Joyce, who was able to come here yesterday and get the recordings done. We pray that you will bless her ministry among the children. And so we look to thee for your help and your grace. Bless on the mission field, Member Noreen in Uganda, and the other missionaries that are there. We pray for them, for Andy and his wife Hannah, that you will keep them safe in these days. We pray that you'll remember the work in Nepal, remember our contacts in India, remember in other parts of Africa too. We think of our sister Joanne in Liberia, and we pray for the work, the ongoing work in Kenya, the Kenyan pastors there that are serving in the Glory Bible Church. And, oh God, we pray that you will rain righteousness upon them and bless the fruit of their way. And even this afternoon, as we have the opportunity again to link up with Pakistan, with her dear sister Deep, as she has traveled many, many hundreds of kilometers today, and as we would link up tomorrow with Freya, with her Sunday school, Lord, go before us and prepare the way and help us to be an encouragement in this Muslim country as we seek to spread the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and ask these things. Amen. It's a joy to have a recording now of the men's choir, and we haven't heard from them for a wee while. We will all be there, and that's the piece that we're going to listen to just now as the men of Hebron sing.
When the last day shall come and the roll shall be called, when the saints meet the Saviour in the air, when the pilgrim and stranger at last reach their home, we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there.
We'll be there,
we'll be there,
we'll all be there.
On the morning of the day, that great and glorious day, when the saints shall gather home,
gather home,
we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there. When the ransomed of earth shall unite in the song that is sung by the angels bright and fair, when the harps all shall ring and the music shall roll, we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there. When the saints shall gather home, gather home, we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there. We shall there say goodbye in the home of the soul. There we'll not have a burden or a care. And when Jesus shall say, enter in with my Lord, we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there.
We'll be there,
we'll be there,
we'll be there,
we'll all be there. On the dawning of the day, bright, great and glorious day, when the saints shall gather home, gather home, we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there. When the saints shall gather home,
gather home,
we'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all.
Didn't that do your heart good? Wasn't your soul blessed listening to that recording? Thank you to the Hebron Men's Choir for that challenging piece. We'll be there. I wonder, will you be there? Looking forward to that day when we gather home at last. What a blessed day it will be for the people of God. But we certainly want to gather home with all our loved ones present, with our friends that we've prayed for to be there also. And so if you're listening in and you're not saved, we plead with you in Jesus' name to come to Christ so that you will be there on that great day. We bid you welcome again to the house of God. As you see from the slide, we are welcoming those who tune in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. That, of course, has been the case for a long time, and it will continue even after we get back to church, because we do broadcast our services. Very, very thankful for this facility and for Paul for all that he has done over the past 3 months. Seems incredible that we have not had public gatherings here physically for that period of time, but that's how it has been. With the coronavirus epidemic, all public services have been suspended. However, by the grace of God, we continue with our services over the internet. That's how it has been. Thank you for joining us week by week and being part of our congregation. The gospel service is at 7 o'clock tonight. I'll be here again, God willing, to bring the message. This is Father's Day. I have a Father's Day message tonight that I want to bring to your attention. I want to speak on the influence of a father. What an influence a father is in his home. And we're going to bring that subject to you this evening. We also have a special soloist from our sister Victoria Salt. Victoria had sent some weeks ago a couple of pieces, and well, this is the second one that we're going to be able to use just now. And we will also have special singing from our own Word of Truth. So we're looking forward to them taking part of the service this evening as well. Now, Tuesday is the Youth Challenge link up at 7 o'clock. Just a couple more of these left before July comes upon us and we enter into the months of July and August when our children's work will break off for that period of time. So we commend it to you, these last couple of special efforts that are being made to keep contact with the children remotely in these days. On Thursday, it's a wedding day. Andrew Miller and Rebecca Cubitt are coming together in married life, and the Hebron congregation wishes both of them the Lord's richest blessing. The wedding will be live streamed via Resharkin Presbyterian Church Facebook page at 1 o'clock. So you can actually go there and listen to it. It's just a small wedding because of the virus, but 10 members of the family. It's not how they would have chosen it to be, but it's good that they're coming together in the Lord and coming together in married life, and we certainly wish them well for their day, their special day. Thursday night is also our midweek service. We're studying Psalm 40 together. Do remember that, and there'll be special prayer for missionary work and revival this coming Thursday night. On Friday night, just let me make this announcement to you, the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony. They're having a theme for 2020, All the Prophets Witness to the Second Coming of Christ. The thought there from Acts 3 and verse 21. And the subject for this Friday night is the prophecy of Nathan. And Dr. John Douglas will be the speaker. And there's various ways in which you can watch this and listen in. You can do it through the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony Sermon Audio page, or the Facebook page, or YouTube. And if you didn't get that, you can look at it later. These announcements will be up on Sermon Audio, and you can see them again. The Youth Fellowship meets for one more time this coming Friday night, and I hope to be here to bring the message to the young people. So young people, this is the last one, and we didn't get the opportunity to hear from Tabita from Pakistan, this young 14-year-old who was converted, brought up in that country and came to Christ. She's going to tell us how that happened, God willing, if they can get everything working this Friday night. Next Lord's Day, broadcasting live, the Sunday school at 11, the Bible class at 11, and then our children's services, 12, noon and 7, and the children will be taking part, pre-recorded, of course, and our sister, Miss Joyce Walsh, is the speaker, the guest speaker for Children's Day. Let me remind you that we're still here to help you over the next couple of weeks and beyond, the elderly, the vulnerable, the sick, and those in need. Just contact us, please. Can I thank you on behalf of the committee for sending in your tithes, your offerings, your building fund, Let the Bible Speak, Missionary Covenant, school support, and any other contributions that you send in. We're glad to be able to announce that the gifts received so far for the Indian orphans has amounted to £12,380. All we can say to that really is to God be the glory. This has astounded us and it has really encouraged us. Another great encouragement for us as a congregation is our young sister Kerry. And I want to congratulate Kerry Halliday publicly, who has been appointed as head girl at Ballymoney High School. That news just came in this week. It's all been confirmed. And it's great that a young Christian lady is going to have that position in the school and have that great influence. And I know that in all her interview work that she did, both in what she prepared and what she said, she was unashamed to be a child of God and to be a Christian and to make that witness before the staff of the school. Holiday Bible clubs will be run by the Mission Board this summer. The first one will be from the 20th to the 24th of July. There'll be another one that we can announce in the mid of August. And these will be each day at 10 o'clock in the morning, with singing, quizzes, Bible stories, crafts, and more. We continue to pray for God's intervention, thankful for answered prayer and what he's done, for the touch of God in people's lives, for the protection of our medical staff, and for the fact that very soon we'll be able to start coming back to church and have some congregation here, albeit a little bit distance from each other, but together nonetheless in the one building. We look forward to that. We do commend to you again those in the frontline services, that you will remember them every day at the throne of grace, together with the sick and the needy, those who are needing the touch of the great physician. Pray for them, please. Remember the messages that we continue to put out and the broadcasts on a weekly basis, the Bible class, Sabbath school, the Sabbath services, the youth challenge, the midweek, the youth fellowship. Continue to pray for the voice of God to be heard in these days. Pray for our missionaries at home and abroad. Some of the names that we are bringing to the Lord every day. Pray for the ministry of FPC Kids and remember the ministry of our own Sunday school. This was Sunday school from last Sabbath day. This group of children singing, I love him better every day. And Wesley introducing then the Sunday school as our superintendent. Victor taught the memory verse and Julie brought the message. Can I thank the teachers that have been actively involved in this ministry over the past 3 months. Likewise, the Hebron Youth Challenge. This was from last Tuesday night. Andrew introducing it. The singing of Wide, Wide is the Ocean. An old favourite hymn or chorus of us all. And then the memory verse being taught by Joanna. And the quiz being done by Rebecca. And Jonathan's story then bringing the message. And the children have been sending in little bits and pieces. This is some of their artwork. Colouring in this beautiful memory verse. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. From the Psalm 34 and verse 4. And if you're one of these children, you just might see what you have sent in some of these slides that were shared with us.
I want to be able to announce that the Feeding of the Orphans in India project will commence this week. Groceries will be bought tomorrow. They will be packed on Tuesday, and distribution will begin on Wednesday. And it may take up to 7 days to travel to the villages. So this is quite an extensive work over, I think it's 52 villages, where they have identified very needy orphans. We wanted to pray for this. Our brother Dipankar has been in touch with us this morning, and we are helping from our end, coordinated, and he's doing the great bulk of the work together with his team as far as delivering this food to the orphan children is concerned. Remember Freya in Pakistan, who continues to work with her Sunday school class and with the ladies' work. I'll be speaking to the children tomorrow. I don't think they're meeting today, but they're hoping to gather them in tomorrow for a special link-up service. And these are the kids, I think, that I will have the opportunity to minister to tomorrow at some stage. We hope to be preaching in Pakistan this afternoon for our other sister, Deep. She has been travelling, I think it's 300 kilometres today, to a remote area. And so therefore it's a bit later when we'll do this link up. It'll probably be 6:30 their time, 2:30 UK time. But I would value your prayers as we talk to these people in a remote part of Pakistan. The food distribution continues to take place in remote poor areas among tribal people. I want to thank any who have contributed to this. We thank you in the Saviour's name. This is Deep's little family. The girl on the left-hand side is the girl that we hope to hear her testimony. She's 14 years old, and she's going to give her testimony, God willing, if all the technology works, on Friday night. It is her desire to become a doctor. She would like to go and work in these remote areas where people cannot afford medical bills and be able to afford paying a doctor. And that's the burden that she has. I trust that the Lord will give her all the ability according to his will in this. And then the other little girl, she was 12 years of age this week. I think it was Friday. And they're brothers as well. There was a supply of Bibles sent to Mr. John. This is a third contact through the Reverend Harris this time over in Pakistan. And we were able to use our sister Freya to get these Bibles to him, 30 Bibles, so that he can have Bible studies with his young people. We showed this on Thursday night, some of the work that is being done at Emmanuel Christian School, the plants that the children have planted, and of course they're growing well, and we're thankful to those that are involved in this. Now we're going to listen to the hymn 538. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. Marching on, for Christ, count everything but loss, to crown him keen, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. Let's listen to this message in song before we come to God's word. Let's sing.
Turn to the Word of God now as we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's open our Bibles to this passage of God's Word, 2 Chronicles 15, and we shall read from the 8th verse to the end of the chapter. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. And they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, and stamped it, and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. We pray as always that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to every heart. And today we're going to think about Asa, the courageous king. Going to think about a king who is saying, I'm not ashamed to own the Lord. I'm not afraid to stand for him. And as we come to divine truth, let's pray and ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a king of reformation. Thank thee that you raise up men in difficult days to carry on a work for yourself and for your glory. We thank thee for the godly kings that came to the throne to be spiritual leaders in the land, as well as temporal leaders on the throne. And Father, we pray that you'll raise up men and women today to be great leaders in our nation. Men that know God, men that are courageous, men who are not ashamed to own thee and not afraid to stand up for thee. We pray that you will guide us through this message, that you will baptize us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will speak to our hearts just now. I pray, as we often pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and fall afresh on those who listen. And may the message of God stir our hearts this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we think about the courageous king, and there's a number of verses that we're going to draw your attention to, we want to take for our text the words of verse 8, the opening part. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. You want to mark that little phrase, he took courage, because we're speaking on Asa the courageous king. Now, in the day in which Asa reigned, that day demanded courage and zeal in the work of God. You remember the evil ancestry from which this man descended. Apostasy had set into the nation,
at the close of Solomon's reign. We can hardly imagine how such a wise king went off the rails and walked in foolishness in his latter days. Think about the wisdom that Solomon had been endowed with. Back in chapter 9 and verses 22 and 23, we're told that King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put into his heart. He ruled for 40 years. It was the golden era of a flourishing kingdom. You think of how God blessed the land in that particular period of time. But you notice the change, the demise of the wise. We read it with a heavy heart. Indeed, we read it with a tear in our eyes. And it comes to us as a warning. Because back in 1 Kings chapter 11, in the opening 9 verses, I'm not going to read all these verses to you, but I commend them to you. We read about the demise of this wise king, where it says, but. That's how the chapter begins, and that's how the whole story begins to change dramatically. But King Solomon loved many women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. And you go on down this chapter to read about how his heart was turned away from God and how that he accommodated for his wives false worship. He built false temples. He went with his wives to these places where the false gods were worshipped. And God was angry. The 9th verse tells us that the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Incidentally, I believe the Lord took Solomon home early. He didn't live out his full days. Such was the disgrace that he had brought to his testimony and to the Lord's name. I believe the Lord said, Solomon, just come home. You've disgraced me, you've disgraced your testimony. I'm taking you home early. And it's reckoned that he died at the age of 59. And then we have Rehoboam and Abijam who come to the throne. And they were wicked men. And yet, in the merciful providence of God, a man of righteousness is crowned king. He's brought to the throne, a good man, a godly ruler, a mighty reformer, and it's this man that we're dealing with, King Asa. Remember the spirit of that godless age. We read about it in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles in verse 3. Now, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. This shows you something of the terrible age in which this people lived, and which Asa came to the throne. Asa had already demonstrated courage and fortitude, as we know in chapter 14 and verse 3. He took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places, and break down the images. He cut down the groves. Verse 5, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. God had already blessed him and rewarded him. First of all, with peace. There was peace in the kingdom for 10 years. And then he also rewarded him with a great victory, giving him victory over his enemies. The prophet Azariah was commanded by the Lord to bring a message of encouragement to Asa and his subjects. And this is where we come into chapter 15, last Lord's Day. In verse 2, the prophet comes with this message. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. If ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And in verse 7, be strong therefore. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now it is upon hearing such a spirit-anointed message that the king makes a prompt response. And we come to the passage that we've read with you today in verse 8, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. This sermon had a good effect upon him. It's always our prayer that sermons will have a good effect upon people, that it will not go in one ear and out through the other, that it will not just run off you as water runs off a duck, but that the sermon has a good effect. And it had a good effect upon Asa. God's message impacted upon his life, made an impression, and he took courage. And he became more bold than ever. And he saw the necessity for further reformation. No doubt a word of encouragement helps men to stand for God. It helps men to be strong in the Lord. It helps them to be steadfast in the faith. We need to learn from Asa's courageous stand, because our day could be very well described as we have this day described in verse 3. A long season. And this is Israel. Well, you could put in the United Kingdom there. Have been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. By and large, that is where we are today. We are without God. We are without knowledge. We are without the law. And so we need courage to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We need resolve to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be like Job, who said, "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." We need to be like the three Hebrew captives who declared, "Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." We need to be like Peter and John, who said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And my dear friends, we need to be like the blessed Jesus himself, who steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And you can detect courage and determination in these men. And Asa was such a king in his time. And we want to learn from this courageous king and be able to apply these things to our hearts and lives. I want you to notice, first of all, the reformation that was wrought. Look at verse 8. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. He abolished idolatry, destroying all, as the word of God calls them here, abominable idols in the land. Wherever wicked idols had been set up in the kingdom, whether it was to Baal or to Ashtaroth or to any other false god, this king did all within his power to pull those idols down. Do not fail to learn that idolatry is something that God abhors and God detests. This word abominable that is used denotes an object of disgust, something that is offensive. And my friends, that's how God views idolatry. Idolatry is something that is an object of disgust in the sight of God. It is something that is offensive to him. Idol worship is something detested by the Lord. And so we should remove all forms of idolatry from our lives. Well, you say, "Preacher, I don't have any idols in my home, and we certainly don't have any idols in the church. We have not erected a god of silver or gold or stone or wood graven by art and man's device. We have not put up such in our lives." Maybe not. But you still may have idols. The Bible speaks about idols of the heart and how men set up idols in their heart, and that's what they worship and that's what they serve and that's what dominates their lives. And my friends, these are idols, and they are detestable in the sight of God. They are indeed, as this word suggests to us, they are the object of disgust and something that's offensive. S's stand for truth and for pure worship knew no bounds. He did not wink at or ignore sin in his family. In the 16th verse, we read that Esau, he also concerning Maacah, the mother of Esau, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Esau cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it in the brook Kidron. Her idol was so offensive and hideous that it was burnt publicly beneath the walls of the city of Jerusalem. No concessions were made. No excuses for his own family. He dealt with this awful sin of idolatry in his own home. I've always hoped that God would give me grace to speak out against sin, no matter whose toes I trample on. I hope that I'm honest enough, I am bold enough, firm enough to deal with sin, and sin even in my own family and in my own friendship circle, as well as in general terms. Now, those who know me, they will know that I will call a spade a spade. I will do it as graciously as possible. But my loyalty must be to King Jesus. My loyalty must be to God every time. And if I see worldliness creeping in, if I see carelessness creeping in, if I see dishonesty or immodesty or coldness and decay, if it is in my own family or in my own church, I must stand up for what is right. I must teach what the Bible teaches. I must say what God says on these matters. Here is a courageous king and the reformation that he wrought. But I want you to notice, secondly, the restoration that was made. The 8th verse goes on to speak about this. Look at it, please. He renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. God's altar had fallen into a bad state of repair during these years of apostasy. It became desecrated in the reigns of Rehoboam and Abijah. Restoration had to be made. And in Old Testament times, all reformation began here. The altar was the center of worship. It was the center of acceptance with God. The Old Testament saints worshiped God on the grounds of the blood. The animal was taken. It was slain. And the blood was poured out at the altar. And when the altar became corrupted or perverted or misused or neglected, it signified a departure from God. Because there's only one way of acceptance with God, and that is on the grounds of the shed blood. And here in the old economy, it was at the altar. And whenever that had become broken down or brought into disrepair, it was a sign of great decline in the nation. Let's bring it up to the modern day. The cross is the heart of true religion. The cross indeed is the modern day altar. The cross is the basis of our acceptance with God. And in times of reformation and revival, it is the cross that always became dominant in the thinking, in the living, in the preaching of the people of God. Esau must repair the broken altar. It seems incredible that this had happened in such a short period of time. The altar had been laid in Solomon's temple just 35 years previously. Doesn't take long for departure to take place. Doesn't take long for apostasy to creep in. It doesn't take long for backsliding to emerge. It doesn't take long indeed for sin to take over. Learn from this. Oh, pray for the free church in these days. God has preserved our witness amazingly over the years. But you look at other churches, you see the decline and the departure that has overtaken them. Observe their falling away. Observe the sad state of some denominations that once had the blessing of God resting upon them, that once took a strong stand for the gospel. A few years can make a difference. And you and I have watched the slide in other places. Altars of truth have become broken down, compromise with false religion, unconverted ministers and church leaders into position. The music of the world has come in. The fashions of the ungodly have come in. And God would say to us, take heed, lest you fall. You can go that way. I can go that way. We're not beyond it, either individually or collectively. How we need to watch in these days. How we need to pray earnestly over this matter. How we need to guard with jealousy the heritage that God Almighty has given to us. Compromise is only a few steps away. That's all it takes. We need to guard these things with the grace of God. Protect the separated stand that God has given to us. Protect the evangelistic thrust that is in our denomination. We never want to lose that spirit of the evangel reaching out to a dying world. Protect the emphasis that is put upon the Bible and upon prayer. These are the dominant things in our church, in our lives, in the life of every Christian. Protect the reform position that we adhere to. Protect our position on the authorized version, on the head covering, on the form of worship that we adhere to. Protect a born-again membership in the church. Protect the purity of the Lord's table. All these things that we sign up to. Perhaps some of you have begun to get into a state of disrepair in your life. Your altar has become broken down. Well, you need courage to reform your Christian walk with God. You need courage to get back to your first love. You need courage to renew the altar in your life. The altar of prayer. The altar of Bible study. The altar of family worship. The altar of holy living. The altar of honesty before your fellows. The altar of evangelism. The altar of enthusiasm. The altar of the prayer meeting. It is sad when that altar becomes broken down. And just as I think of the prayer meeting, my dear friends, in the will of God, it's the first meeting that's going to be back in the church here, in the will of God, on the 2nd of July, when this position of allowing us to come back to church is put into practice. You make it your business to get back to the prayer meeting if you can. Now, there are certain people that are shielding, maybe vulnerable people that can't get back. But if you're able and you're willing and able to get to the prayer meeting, you try by the grace of God to do that. And why not start as you mean to go on? And then I want you to notice in the third place the congregation that was assembled. Look at verses 9 and 10 of our reading. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month,
in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. There was a great gathering in the capital city. Asa summoned this solemn assembly from all parts of the nation, and there came a great company of people, not only from the southern kingdom where the tribes of Judah and Benjamin resided, but also strangers out of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. They came over to him from the other 10 tribes. Their coming must have been a tremendous encouragement to the king. God was moving. God was blessing. God was touching hearts. God was working in souls. Indeed, it was a time of revival in the nation. And you note the reason of their coming. They saw that the Lord his God was with him. As the people of his nation looked on, and as others from the northern kingdom of Israel watched too, they were drawn to him. Why were they drawn? Because the Lord was with him. They saw that. There must have been a number who had the glory of God at heart, and there must have been others who were brought to trust in him at that time. Matthew Henry said, "It is good to be with those that have God with them, to come into relation to and contact, acquaintance and friendship with those who live in the fear and favor of God." Is this the way you live? Is it now? As I address the congregation today, is this the way that you live? Do you know one of the greatest attractions that will draw people to this church? It'll be for the same reason that is stated here. They saw that the Lord his God was with him. If our neighbors could just sense something of this as they watch you, as the people watched King Asa, as they see in you that God is with you, that the blessing of God is resting upon you, I tell you this, they will be drawn into the house of God where you go to worship him. But this, of course, needs to be there. Speaking of the latter days and a season of religious awakening and revival and a great growth and advancement in the kingdom of God, Zechariah foretold of such days when Gentile people would lay hold of God's people, saying, "We will go with you, for we have heard God is with you." And that ought to be the kind of influence we have. We will go with you. We have seen that God is with you. That ought to be the testimony that we bear. Sadly, Christians speak very little about the Lord in these days. They stop short in the spread of the gospel. In fact, those around us may not even discern the Christ-like life because it is not there in the lives of many of God's people. There is more of the world than of godly living. The conversation is centered upon earthly things, and this is so sad. When God's people are just always talking about sport and science and business and careers and pastimes and money and temporal matters, and listen, there's no conversation about the Lord. That is a tragedy, I have to say. When men around me see more of the Lord and less of ourselves, when they detect the very presence of Christ with us, that beauty of character and godly influence, they'll be challenged then. They will be confronted then. They will be more likely to gather in abundance when they see that the Lord is with us. There has been a sad history in the Church of Jesus Christ through the centuries of hypocrites, professing Christians who do the gospel more harm than good by their attitudes, by their behavior, by their conversations, by their harsh criticisms, by their selfish ambitions,
by their inconsistencies, by their bad examples, by their moody, carnal demeanor. My heart sinks when I hear the ungodly declare, and I'm sure you hear it too at times, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. I'll not come to your church because such and such a person worships there. There's no difference between me and that person who say they are a Christian. There's an awful lot of hypocrites in the church. We need revival. We need reformation. We need a real moving of God, a soul-stirring work to be done that will attract others unto us. They also gave the command for this gathering in verse 9, but the people gathered themselves together in verse 10. It was their own act. It was a willing heart that brought them. Then I want you to notice quickly in the fourth place, as we look at verse 12, the resolution that was agreed. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. Now, there was sacrificial giving in verse 11, but I don't want to deal with that today. I want to emphasize the solemn covenant that was entered into. It was a voluntary agreement to give themselves over unto the Lord. And such a covenant is a solemn matter. When you enter into a promise, when you enter into a covenant with God, the substance of the covenant was to seek the Lord God of their fathers. And the sincerity of the covenant was with all their heart and with all their soul. Do you know anything about it, dear child of God? This, of course, is our reasonable service. It's something that's only expected from those who have been redeemed. But here, in order to help them do what God required and to fulfill their solemn obligation, they joined together in a holy vow or pledge, and they make this agreement before the Lord. True religion is seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those who really love the Lord and desire to live for him will give themselves over to such seeking, privately and publicly. God looks for the wholehearted commitment. All the heart, all the soul. We were speaking on this very theme this morning in our little video talk. The Christian life is vain and empty if it's not a heart work. God will have all the heart, or he will have none. And you see how solemn they made their vow. Because in verse 13 they said, whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So there is this resolution that was entered into. And then finally, in verses 14 and 15, just give you a brief word on this, the jubilation that was experienced. You swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets and cornets, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. It was great joy and cheerfulness in the kingdom as a result. They rejoiced at the oath that they made with God. They did not make their promise lightly, but solemnly. And yet they did it happily, with joy in their soul. They were not ashamed to express it. It's a happy thing to serve the Lord. It really is. It's a happy thing to go through with God. May God make us happy in the work that he has called us to. When there's reformation, when there's restoration, when there's resolution, there will be times of rejoicing. Such movements of God in the church and in the nation and in the family will engender joy, will bring times of rejoicing. So let's pray to that end.
Let's pray that God will give us such blessed days when his people are courageous and we stand for him and we enter into covenants and promises with him to go through with God and to stand for King Jesus. May God bless his word to every heart. I'm going to bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word today. We thank thee for King Asa and this thought of his courage that is so visibly seen in this passage of Scripture. Thank thee for the workings of God in his life, for the movings of the Spirit. And Lord, we do pray for the same in our day. Help us to take courage and to do what we know is right before the Lord, and to live for thy glory, and to live with eternity's values in view. In fact, to live with eternity in view, in light of the day when we shall be called from this life into the next and stand before the Almighty and give an account to him. Impress your word upon our hearts this day. Keep us in the afternoon of the Sabbath. And as we come to deal in your will with this Father's Day message tonight, we seek further help from the Holy Spirit of God to be our teacher and interpreter and to bring blessing and challenge for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll leave the word of God with you. Trust the Lord will bless you as a people, that the Lord will go with you through this day, that this will be a high Sabbath in your experience and in mine. For Jesus' sake. Amen.